So good to be with you today and to talk for a few minutes from the Word of God. We have a number of guests with us. We're glad that you're here and hope that we can get to know you a little better as you make your visit with us. This morning's lesson, Why Teaching is Rejected, I have two purposes in looking at the things that I have to look at. Really just three main points. But one is that when we talk to people, what might cause them, as we try to talk with them about the gospel or about faithful living or about any Bible topic, what might cause them, what might we do that would cause them to shut us off? I think that's important for us to think about. And then the other thing is that I would like for us to consider is, what are some things that can block out teaching from us and keep us from hearing the truth when we need to hear the truth? And what you'll notice about this is that both applications are very, very personal. I think it's important that as we study these things that we apply them to ourselves rather than saying, oh yeah, I know someone like that. I know someone who needs to hear that, or certainly that's a problem with someone else. But maybe think about that ways in which we might keep others from hearing us and ways in which we might block out the truth from being taught to us. And I hope you'll consider those things as we look at those today. We'll look at the first one. And the first one that I'd like to talk about is, sometimes it's the person who's speaking, actually who it is that is telling us something. And it may be that we hear teaching because it's someone who is very renowned. Maybe they've got lots of letters after their name, or maybe they are one of those people who is known throughout the brotherhood as being a great preacher, a great teacher. Or maybe it's someone who has a reputation of not being very good, of maybe being boring, or not doing a particularly good job presenting the truth. And so that person gets shut out. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2. You know, I would have loved to have heard the Apostle Paul when he comes to people and he preaches the gospel. And I would love to know if he's just being very humble or if he really wasn't a very good speaker. But here's what he writes of himself. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul is concerned about these Corinthians because they have an unhealthy respect for men. And who's doing the preaching? And Paul says, "I didn't come to you and try to keep you spellbound by my great words of wisdom that I could share with you. And I didn't come to you and with great oratory skills that I learned in my upbringing and be able to just dazzle you with my great speaking ability. I came to you and I told you about Jesus Christ. I told you in plain words about how Jesus was crucified, about the sacrifice that He was, and how through Him you can be saved." I'm afraid sometimes it is who's speaking that can impact us. That we say, "Oh, well, you know, I know that preacher and he brings forth the most profound things." Maybe so. But if it's someone else, we need to hear the Word of God for the Word of God. We need to respect if that teaching is from God or it's from men. And there is a danger that we miss out on something if we just reject things because, "Well, I never heard of him." Or if we accept something because, oh, he's a great friend of mine, and he's preached the truth all over the country, and I just hold him in such high regard, and I could listen to him all day long. We need to be careful about that. You know, there are stadiums filled with people who come and listen to false teaching from people who will not teach the truth, but have a very beautiful way of presenting it. Paul also wrote to the Corinthians in that same chapter. Paul says, when he describes himself, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If you've done much public speaking, especially preaching or teaching, you may find yourself like me sometimes and say, wow, that was not my best lesson. And I have a good friend who will remind me, was it the Word of God? Your presentation may not have been as polished as you would like. Your words may not have come out and flowed very easily that day. But did you preach the truth? Well, if you preached the truth, you demonstrated the Spirit and the power of God. Paul says here that when I came to you, it wasn't with this incredible wisdom, and it wasn't with persuasive words. I brought you the Word of God simply and in its purity. And I helped you to know the right way of the Lord. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says why he did that. He says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I mentioned in Bible class today that I'm so impressed with Paul, who was always pointing people to Christ and always pointing people to God. Certainly, when you look at his incredible conversion, having left the things that he left to do what he did, and how he had been all over the world preaching the gospel, and how he was so devoted, and his preaching was sacrificial by his life, the way he lived, what he endured for the gospel. And I think, wow, we just have to listen to Paul. Well, he was an apostle, and he did have inspiration, so yes. But Paul would tell you, whoever preaches the truth, you better listen to them. And your faith needs to not be in who the human conduit is that brings you that truth, but in God's power that's found within the Word of God. So, those who speak, and as we go out and we teach others, we don't need to approach them with the idea of, hey, listen to me because I'm probably the smartest person in the Bible you ever knew. We don't need to approach them with, oh, I've got this really slick lesson from the Bible that I'd like to share with you. And as we hear things, we don't need to judge that in advance and say, well, that person, I never heard of them. I don't know them. They're not really a very good speaker. They stumble over their words sometimes. But are they bringing the truth? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 6, Paul says, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. So that's how Paul lays it out. I'm not a trained speaker. I'm not a speech maker. But I know God's word. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. And then, again, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, you remember Moses? Moses thought that he couldn't be of use to the Lord. He says, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The only way I can tell people things is just to lay it out bit by bit, point by point." But God sure used Moses. He made sure that he was able, and where he needed help, God provided the help. And the Lord said to him, this is in Exodus 4, 10 and 11, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" The Lord can use you, even if your abilities are limited. The Lord can use you. Maybe you have great respect for the person who is in front of the congregation. That's me here most of the time. Don't hear what I say because you love me, because you have any respect. And I'd ask you not to reject the messages that I bring from God's Word, because maybe I'm not as likable, or the words don't always come easy. But I ask you to hear the truth, to hear the Word of God, because in that is the power. In the Word of God is the power. Not in the man speaking. Consider a second point why someone might reject teaching. They might reject teaching because of what is seen. And let's explain that a little bit. We see in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." We know that Peter, and we'll see about some others, that did not set a good example. And sometimes our example to others can cause their ears to be shut. In other words, sometimes, if it's me, it might be that my actions could shut off people's ears. Here, Paul says, "I had to withstand Peter." What a respected man Peter surely had become by that time. But he needed correction because of what could be seen. For instance, also in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew himself and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." He behaved in different ways depending on who was around. In this case, he behaved in a hypocritical way. Now, I don't like for folks to say, "There's too many hypocrites, that's why I don't obey the gospel. There's too many hypocrites, that's why I don't attend with the saints." But I have to be careful, you have to be careful when you talk to people. When you go to someone and you say, "I'd like to talk to you about the gospel," and they'd say, "Really? With the things you do?" I hope that's not the case. But it might shut off someone's ears if you're not being a good example. And I would have you to look at the example of Paul when he saw Peter doing things that were not right. Rather than just reject teaching, he talked to Peter. He withstood him to the face. In the next verse it says, "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him." If you thought I was being too harsh with Peter, saying that he was being hypocritical here, the scripture says that he played he was playing the hypocrite, and the rest of the Jews did that, that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. What do people see in us as they go throughout their lives? They see us being rude and harsh and mean, and then say, let me tell you about Jesus. Do they see us using and hear us using filthy language or telling things which we ought not, or gossiping about others or speaking bad about other Christians? And we say, well, let me tell you about the church that I've been added to. Let me tell you about salvation that's in the blood of Christ. We have to be careful. Now, you know, like I do, none of us are perfect. And that if someone's looking to find something, they'll find something. But we have to be careful that our example, that our life, doesn't drive someone else away. And we have to be careful that we realize that people are imperfect. And if they bring the truth, we need to hear it, even if they're not the best example of it. In verse 14 of this same chapter, it says, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Peter, we saw how you behaved in one case, and now some of your Jewish countrymen come and you behave a different way. Which is it? What is the truth? Tell us. Show us. If you're receiving the Gentiles, will you receive them when your Jewish friends are around too? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, a lesson that's very important. He says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? So you know that I recently have had to have, over the last year, eye injections. And when I was preparing for that, the very first one, some of you said, oh, it's not a big deal. I know lots of people who have had eye injections, and it doesn't hurt. And that's when I preached on lying. I was told about the doctor that I had. He was a very good young doctor. His dad was a doctor. His mom was a doctor. I was told about the doctor that I had. The person who came in to check me in and everything said, he's a good doctor. He has a gentle touch with these eye injections. I appreciated that. And I suppose, as eye injections go, that's true. But I was sure glad that he didn't come in and say, I can't really see very well today, but I'm going to stick this in your eye right where it goes. You know, I lost my glasses this morning. I lost my contacts, my glasses, whatever. And everything's a little fuzzy, but it'll be okay. I wanted him to have great vision, and I tried to keep my eye open. They put a little thing to hold your eye open, but I tried to keep my eye open and look exactly where he told me to look and not move, because it was serious business as far as I was concerned. This guy, he's looking to pick a little speck out of his brother's eye. He's blinded by some terrible problem with his own eye. If you apply the speck and the plank, the guy with the speck is never going to listen to the guy with the plank. we have to make sure we're not the guy with the plank trying to fix everybody else's specs. We can't try to correct and fine-tune spiritually someone else if we're not living it ourselves. Sometimes teaching is rejected because of what people see. In verse 5 it says, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Get your eyes fixed. If it was my doctor, I'd say, "Well, why don't we call this off and you get a new pair of contacts or glasses? Why don't you figure this out and get your vision straight, or send in someone else before you start jabbing around on my eye?" You know, spiritually, that's true too. To say, "I don't go to church, I'm not baptized, I don't want to be a Christian because there's too many hypocrites," terrible idea. But I don't want to find myself, and I know you don't want to find yourself, being that terrible excuse for someone else. We need to be good examples. Well, let's look at one more. How we can be better hearers, and how we can be better teachers so that the teaching is not rejected. What is heard? The reputation of the person speaking, what you see in their life, and what is heard. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." If you stop there for just a minute, we sometimes kind of read over that because we want to get down to that real punch. Paul is emphasizing by the highest authority that he's charging Timothy to do this. It's not just "do this," it's "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ," and he calls judgment into his mind, "who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and in his kingdom." Timothy, you're going to be judged. The people who hear you are going to be judged. And so here's what you must do. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Some people don't want to hear all of those things. If they hear a preacher who has a lesson that happens to be rebuking, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want him to get all over me. I don't need to hear him tell me that I'm wrong." Before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God, because there's going to be judgment, preach the word. Just say what the word has to say. And sometimes we may not listen because we don't like the message. Here's what you must do. You have to evaluate it, whether it is truth or whether it is not. And if it is truth, even if you don't like the message, even if you don't like the way it was presented, if it is truth, hear it. Take it in. Listen. Don't reject the teaching because it hurts or because you don't like the way it was said. As people who talk to others, if they reject the truth, there is nothing we can do about that. But we need to make sure that we are sharing only the truth. And when that is questioned, that we say, "Well, this is what the Bible has to say about this." The next two verses say, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Sometimes people don't like the message, and they don't endure the truth, the sound doctrine. There's an interesting picture here for me, and I think there's a lesson behind it. They will heap up for themselves teachers. What do you do if you heap something up? If you're having dinner with someone and you say, give me a heap of those green beans, how much are you going to give them? You're not going to take a little spoonful and give them about four green beans on their plate. Oh, they're delicious. I want a bunch of them. Put them on there. If you're heaping up firewood for the winter, you don't have two little logs. And here I think is the lesson. If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, but not the truth, just what you want to hear, oh, there's a flood of people who will do that. There's a heap of people who will do that. But it's a more rare commodity to find someone who cares enough to tell you the truth, to tell you where you really stand, to tell you what really needs to change and what you really need to do. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, this is the test we need to put things to. Beloved, believe not, or do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Find out if it's the truth. And if it's the truth, no matter who it is, don't reject that teaching. But if it's not truth, rightfully reject it. Do not receive it. You know, it's the truth that makes us free. Jesus said that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Paul said one time, and I don't have this on the screen for you, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Your friend will tell you the truth. Someone who loves truth will tell you the truth. And so as you look at these things, I just ask you to carefully consider. And it doesn't matter if it's me, if one of the other elders is up here in teaching, or a Bible class teacher, or if you're away visiting and you hear a lesson that is not so important who is speaking. You need to evaluate it for what it is. That we need to be people who live the truth so that people will hear it, but don't use that terrible excuse that there's too many hypocrites. And don't reject teaching just because it hurts or just because it's not easy to listen to or it applies very directly right to me. Receive only the teaching that is truth. There are people who do reject the truth, reject teaching. Now, I know that on Pentecost, that there were words that were said. You know, the apostles were not very popular. Jesus had just been crucified a short time before, and here they're following him. They're disciples of Jesus, but they preach the truth on Pentecost, and they tell the people that they had crucified the Lord of glory. And they're convicted in their hearts. They hear it. They don't reject it. They hear it. And they say, what shall we do? Well, we've seen you following Jesus. We've seen your example. Well, what they heard was, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There might be someone here who needs to do that. And there might be a lot of reasons why you think you ought to reject that teaching. But we see it over and over again in the Bible. When we see the Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul of Tarsus, some folks would tell you that what you need to do is just repent. Well, Paul was already sorry and he wanted to give the Lord his life. He said, "What would you have me to do already?" And some people tell you that all you need to do is pray. And when we read about Paul going into Damascus, he was already praying. But Ananias told him, "This repentant, believing, prayerful man," Paul tells him, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." If you never obeyed the gospel, I'm going to ask you to answer that question. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Maybe that there's a child of God here who has fallen away and it's time to be restored. It's time to make things right with God. And it doesn't matter if it's me extending the invitation or Mark or Garrett or Bill or any of us. It's the Lord's invitation. He wants you to be reconciled. He wants you to be right with Him. If we can help you, we'd love to do that right now. As I'll ask you to stand, and Adam will lead us in the invitation song.